And go ahead and turn your Bibles to the Epistle to the Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. And we are looking at verses 22 through 33. 22 through 33. Hear ye then the word of the Lord. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present to the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. And Father, we do thank you for thy holy word. We pray, grant us understanding, Lord, and make our hearts tender and ready to hear and listen as well by your Spirit. And Father, we thank you and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Well, this is a fun topic. But I will preach through the entirety of the epistle. I'm not going to skip things and all that. So, all right. Well, first of all, we know that marriage is an institution established by God way back in the beginning with Adam and Eve. This institution by God seems to have always been under assault by the ungodly in our world, especially in America about this. Even today, we see the institution of marriage under a constant assault or even denied. Divorce rates are still at record levels, and even among Christian marriages, they're failing at an alarming rate. We see that going around all the time as well. Some are abandoning marriage altogether out of fear of losing benefits or losing income in one way or another. And so they choose sometimes to shack up. That's what we call it, right? Everybody knows. Okay, I'm not using that in the wrong way. Meaning to live together outside of the covenant relationship established by God. And so then, by doing so, they actually commit the sin of fornication, living as a married couple in intimacy, but ignoring the institution of God that God has commanded. They want to pretend that marriage, and I've literally had people say this to me, that marriage is a piece of paper anyway. And then after they break up with their boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, then they say, well, you know, and then they're married a year later. And they find out, yeah, well, it did mean something to them. But they want to pretend that marriage is just a principle, basically a paper, but it's not. It's a covenantal relationship between a man and the woman and before Almighty God. Okay, Christ should be the center of the marriage, of course. If they continue in the sin, okay, shacking up, whatever you want to call it, God will judge them. And like any sinner, they do need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then properly enter into a covenant with one another before God. So we don't want to pretend or lie saying that marriage is simply just a piece of paper. It is not. All right? It is a marriage between a man and a woman before Almighty God. God ordained the institution. And so we must not negate it nor deny it, but rather abide by God's word. Likewise, there are distinct duties appropriate for those entering into the covenantal relationship of marriage. Duties for husbands and duties for wives, okay? It's not a denial of the equality of the man and a woman. It's not that at all. Rather, it is a difference of role. Okay, that is all there is, a difference of role. So if we will follow and we will obey the biblical commands as set forth to us in Holy Scripture, then we can repair and mend our marriages before they break apart in little pieces. The problem we see in marriages, of course, is the failure to follow God's pattern for marriage. God is the one who designed it, and of course, he's the one who instituted marriage, so we need to obey God and not man or the, well, everybody else in America is doing that or whatever it might be. But when God created man, he saw that he was alone. Remember that back in Genesis? He was alone, and God said that it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Okay, help meet, however you want to phrase that, literally means a helper suitable for him. The one thing in all of God's creation that he did not call good was man being alone. Okay, he didn't want him to be alone. So God created woman, which was the completion and perfection of his creative work. That would be the ceasing of the rest of his creative work right there, of course, with the institution of the Sabbath. But God brought Adam and Eve together in the institution of marriage, and he said it was good. So marriage is a good thing, it's a holy thing, but there are a lot of failed marriages, and I understand that. We all know and we all seen it, and they are tragic when they do happen. So don't let them suffer alone. It's very, very difficult for those going through that. But God created marriage, and it is a good thing if we will follow the directions that God has given to us for marriage. And then it will be a blessing for us, and it will be a testimony of God's grace in your life, as well as the witness of Christ's headship in your home. That, again, what the picture is here. A little bit of background here for you. Paul taught about the importance of unity within the body of Christ. He said that we are to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which we have been called, and not to walk in the hardness of our hearts, but to put off our old selves, the old man, if you will, realizing that we have put on the new man, the new life in Christ, created after the likeness of God. And since we are one new man or woman, we are to be careful how we walk in this life that we live. We are bearing witness. Whether it's a good witness or a bad one, we bear witness. But we are to walk in love as Christ loved us, and we understand that. So this very same Christian walk should also characterize our marriages, as well as every other relationship that we have, as he characterized our marriages, which leads to our first point in verses 22 through 24. Here we see the duties of Christian wives. And by the way, do note they say a whole lot more to the man side, okay? Verse 22 through 24, here we see the duties of Christian wives, actually all wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands, all right? And we understand that, and yet it causes a lot of problems in modern day America, okay? Always has. Not popular. It's one of the most politically incorrect things that you could ever say here in America today that any American might utter. The feminists get upset, the liberals, they can scream about it, say it's unfair, it makes women into slaves. Loving God would never ask us to do such a thing. We're actually commanded to do such a thing, but it's not slavery, alright? They would argue, well, wait a minute, what about verse 21? Okay, isn't that a mutual submission? Isn't Paul just simply saying that husbands and wives are to be mutually submissive to each other? We've heard this, it's a 50-50 relationship, okay? After all, what if the husband's incompetent? What if he is spiritually mature? And what if he's just simply not a leader or a lousy one? You know, then do I have to submit to that? You know, I understand that. But here in these verses, Paul gives instructions to Christian wives, and then from verses 25 through 33, he spends his great time here instructing Christian husbands how they are to behave toward their wives, okay? And of course, if they're doing that, that certainly is not slavery, all right? But the topic of submission is a hot topic button. Nobody wants to talk about it. People will leave sometimes over that kind of discussion or whatever it might be. Many men will try to, now I've heard this, by the way, many men will try to use this passage to behave as tyrants toward their wives, okay? They will do so. I knew of a man who basically on Sunday morning while he was on the internet cruising, he had his wife and his children all lined up against the wall waiting until he's ready to go to church. That's tyranny. That is not gracious at all, and that is not what this scripture is about. And if that is what's happening, that needs to stop. You call me and the elders, we'll go straighten that out. It won't be popular, but we'll have to do that. That is not what is being talked about here.
But yeah, they'll try to basically take advantage of their wives using this to justify their sin against them and their children. Here we have two principles given for wives. Number one would be this. Wives are to practice submission to your husbands as an exercise of your faith and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? It's an evidence of your faith toward Christ. You're doing this as to the Lord, not to, you know, my worthless husband or whatever it might be. You're doing this unto the Lord. And we must always remember that. Okay? You're to do it as commanded, but you do it for Christ and His glory. Okay? Submission is not based on the husband's worthiness. If it's based on the husband's worthiness, how many would be submitted to? Zero. Nobody's worthy, right? And certainly not a lot of simply ungodly men out there. But it's not based on how spiritually mature or competent that the husband is either. You may have read the Bible 1,000 times. He stumbles, you know, simply reading the first verse of Genesis. All right, that doesn't matter. He may need instruction. You may need to kind of help him learn to lead the family. I mean, yeah, it's okay to do that. You're trying to help your own husband. It's not something demanded of by the husband either. Okay, it's not to be that. That would be slavery. If the husband demands your submission, then he's being tyrannical against you again. Okay, that is not what's called for. This is a command by the Lord for the wives to do so as unto the Lord. It's not a pat on the back for the husband or to say how much better he is or anything. Submission is an exercise of faith and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ by their own willing submission to their husbands. Christ, you know, the head of the church, he's the head of the man, the husband's the head of the wife and the family, you know, this kind of thing. Now, what about verse 21 again? Is that mutual submission? I'll read that for you. If I mistakenly read it again, the very last part of verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Well, there it is. I have literally had some women tell me that, no, we're to submit one to another. You know, it's 50-50. Well, first of all, that part is still speaking to the church in general, all right? Like the body of Christ, you submit to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then he specifically points out, however, for the wives and the husbands, wives submit to your own husbands, okay? And we see that. So it's not doing that. Verses 19 through 21 contain four participles. Yeah, I know, the language thing. As addressing, singing, making melody, giving thanks, and submitting. Okay, these are the things that every Spirit-filled Christian, every true born-again Christian is filled with the Spirit, of course, and they are to do this. The submission is a part of that. And then Paul explains how Christians submit. Okay, and he will break this down, of course, by wives and husbands, children and parents, masters and servants, and all this kind of stuff, too. So we see this breakdown here in the chapter. But Paul explains how Christians are to submit by doing all these things. Wives are to submit to their husbands, children and parents, as I just said. Despite the various relationships, there is the theme of submission. Now we know that in Christ there is no more Jew or Gentile, there is no more slave or free, we are all equal in Christ. And that's true. Before the Lord, as we stand on that day, I mean, we are equal before the Lord in His sight. It's not about, you know, inequality or equality, it's about role. That's all there is, okay? So we need to be aware of that. But equality is not denied, only a difference in role. We have to remember. Secondly, by the way, wives are to practice their submission to their husbands and recognition of the headship of Christ over His church in verses 23 to 24. So as Christ is the head of His church, so the husband is the spiritual head of his wife. And yes, he may have to grow, he may have to learn, I mean, as he's teaching and reading through the Bible, let him do so. Let him trip and stumble and learn. If he needs to learn some more, call me, you know, the elders and help them if they need some more guidance on that. But the Christian wife is to submit to her husband. It is a direct picture of Christ and His church. And I've had some people try to deny that, but the thing is, would you try to say, if you deny that wives are to submit to their husbands, and the picture is Christ being, you know, the head of His church, the church is submission to Christ, are you going to flip that around and say Christ is in submission to His church too? No. Christ is the head of His church. Okay, and so we don't deny the principle of headship that is here. In verse 24, the verb is what's called the middle voice, which means submission is voluntarily and joyfully done, even though it is commanded. Okay, it's a joyful thing. It should be a joyful thing. If a husband is being tyrannical, mean, pushy about it, it is not a thing of joy anymore. So don't do that. Submission is never forced. Don't make them line up against the wall and try to tell them, you'll be waiting there for me and tell them, I'm ready to go. That is tyranny. Okay, that's not what we're speaking about. And for the husbands, to demand submission is ungodly and unloving and uncommanded in Scripture. And so now, having said all that, let's go and spend the rest of our time on the guys. All right, so, all right, the second point and final point, the duties of Christian husbands. And verses 25 through 27, and I read here as well, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, and there's a principle, of course, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, singular, one wife here, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his body as himself, and see that the wife, she respects her husband. All right, let's continue on here. Well, certainly, the greater part of this message has to do with the role and responsibility of the husbands toward their wives. Again, a picture of Christ and his church. As noted, the wife's submission to her husband does not give him the right to act like a tyrant. It never does. You cannot allow to act ungodly toward your wife. Okay? Don't treat her with this kind of disrespect and subjugation, all right, enslavement. On the contrary, the husband has a higher standard to live by. The onus is really upon the husband. He is to love his wife just as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her. If a husband was loving his wife like that, if the husband loves his wife, you know, and in this kind of manner, as Christ loves his church, nurturing her and teaching her, instructing her, washing of water with the word, teaching, of course, together, doing these kinds of things, if the husband's loving his wife like that, what woman wouldn't, you know, what woman would have trouble submitting to that? There would be no trouble, because you know that he loves you and is doing this for your best good as well as his. Paul describes a husband's duty to his wife as Christ to the church. And here we see in verse 25, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now this is a manner that the husbands are to love their wives. It was a self-sacrificial love. Is a love that always has her best interests at heart and not his own. You're always looking out for her best interests. And you remember that. Don't go home and, you know, how wives can get them and say, look, you're supposed to seek my good all the time. You know, so, but do that which is according to godliness, all right? But husbands are to love their wives in this manner. Christ loved his church. Even though the church was corrupt, it was full of sin, it was foul sometimes, it was vile, and yet the Lord loved her and laid down his life for her. And the Corinthians, of course, had boatloads of problems. Does Christ still love his church? Yes, he does. Okay, and of course, discipline had to follow up for those who were disobedient. But even though his church was actually unlovely, Jesus loved her anyway. Okay, do not look at your wives. So the husband should love his wife. He should love her, and Christ never tired of his church. He didn't get tired of loving his wife. He cared about his church. Okay, and we should look after the needs of our wives, all right? Christ never desired or lusted after another body or another church anywhere, so the husband should love his wife, and his eyes belong to her, okay? Christ gave his life for the church, and yet he provided for the church when he ascended. He maintained a daily care for his church, and his love was not a one-time act, but it was a daily demonstration of his love. So the husband should daily show his love for his wife. And by the way, it's okay if you, and I haven't done this in a while. You can write a little love note, stick it in her purse when she doesn't know that. You can stick it on her mirror on the other side when she flips around with a smiley, love you baby, you know, whatever it might be. Little things make a difference. They're very important, alright? Now, Cyrus of Persia. Yeah, you'll, why do I mention Cyrus of Persia? Alright. He had a general. Okay, and this one general had a wife. And she was accused of treachery, and she was condemned to die. I do not know what the treachery was. Don't ask me. But she was accused of treachery. And so the husband, he didn't know about this at first. But soon, he rushed over to the palace. He burst into tears and into the throne room. He threw himself on the floor, and he cried out, "My lord, Cyrus, take my life instead of hers. Let me die in her place." Yeah, he loved her, right? I don't know what the treachery was, but he loved his wife. Cyrus was actually moved by this. Cyrus said this. He said, "Love like that must not be spoiled by death." He gave the husband his wife back, and he let her go free because of her husband. And on leaving, the husband said to his wife as they were walking out, "Did you notice how kindly the king looked at us when he gave you the pardon?" And she said, "Now, I had no eyes for the king. I saw only the man who is willing to die in my place." Yeah, very touching, right? In reality, the reality is this. Most of us are never likely going to be asked to die for, you know, your husband or your wife. We're not likely that that's going to happen. Now, I understand it's getting dangerous in America today, and that could become a reality. I understand that. But I just want you to, you know, we just need to be aware of the opportunities that we have to share our love daily. My wife, I've shared this before, probably 10 years ago, but I always use it because I still kind of chuckle about it. But my wife once told me, "I'm not asking you to die for me. All right? I'm just asking you to pick up your clothes," and I modify that. All right? There's literally, "I'm just asking you to pick up your underwear once in a while." And I'm pretty good about that now, by the way. I'm pretty good. And she has 3 laundry baskets for me. I try to hit the right one. I do, all right? But a sacrificial love will reach out to help. And by the way, anyway, we just need to remember the opportunities that we have. Now, according to verse 26, Christ wants to sanctify his church. And so he wants to make it holy. Okay, he desires a church that's completely set apart for himself. So even in a like manner, husbands must desire to see the spiritual development of their wives. Now you may say, "Well, she's read the Bible, you know, 30 more times than I have." Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You are to do your best as the spiritual head of your home and to see to her spiritual development, whatever that may be. You probably ask her how that might help, okay? And also, Christ cleanses his church by the washing of water with the Word. In other words, husbands are responsible for the spiritual growth of their wives and their children, Ephesians 6:4, even though most wives take the job of teaching their children God's Word. They take that usually themselves, but it's the husband's responsibility to do so. Doesn't matter if she's far better at it or not. It's his responsibility. Can he delegate that? Yeah, I guess so, but... don't be tyrannical toward her if she is able and willing to do so, but it's your responsibility to do that. Now, in verse 27, Christ will present his church to himself in splendor as a glorious bride. Now, the husband must desire to see his wife become all that God has called her to be. Okay, that should be a desire for him, and such is the love that a husband must have for his wife. So if husbands will start loving their wives with the same kind of self-sacrificial love, a love demonstrated daily, and if the wives will begin to practice submission as unto the Lord to their husbands, then we will see marriages turn around. Okay, we will see bonds strengthened, and those tiny cracks that may be there in the marriages might start to be restored. All right. Now, did you notice a common factor all throughout all this? Well, look at verses 28 through 31 again. 28 through 31. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. All right? So it was Christ's love for us and our love for Christ. So Christ is the bond of our marriage, and it should be. Christ is the center of our marriage, and it should be. Okay, and all that we do, we seek to serve and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, even and especially in our marriages. Yeah, and that'll have a huge impact on the kids and the grandkids and all that. Is your marriage then suffering? Do you see signs of cracking in your own marriage? Do you see signs of breaking down? Then you need to start loving your wives the way that Christ loves the church. Make sure that she is growing spiritually. Be the leader that Christ has called you to be. And of course, wives, start submitting yourselves in a godly way to your husbands because of Christ, out of love for the Lord. Now, do you say this? And I've heard this too, and I hear it anyhow. I won't do my part until he does his part, or vice versa. Okay, that's ungodly. That's wrong. It's unjust. Okay, you are responsible to do what God has commanded you to do. So, husband, you're to love your wives. I don't care if she's disrespectful or whatever. You are still to love her and care for her and take care of her. Is it wrong for those who be ungodly and try to insist upon, no, I'll do that when he does his? That is not it. That's sinful. All right? You are responsible to do what God has commanded you to do. You do your part regardless if he or she does not. Whether they do or not do it, you're responsible to do what you're supposed to do. You're accountable for your obedience. Not his obedience or not her obedience. You're accountable for yours. So heed the word of God. Will you begin to have a Christ-glorifying marriage? Then you need to start. And maybe you haven't, maybe you have, but do so today. And the word of God says, let each one of you love his wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. And does that mean she don't have to love him? Yes, she has to love him too, alright? But she is supposed to share that respect toward him as well. Okay? And we see this very beautiful picture that's before us. Now let's pray together. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Father, for the families that are here today. We pray for the marriages, Father, those that are still in bonds before you, O Lord, by thy word and covenant, and those who had to leave it for one reason or another. But, Lord, we do pray for grace, the Lord, strengthening. We pray for a healing of these relationships, Lord. We pray, Lord, for a daily grace upon their behalf, O Lord, as they seek to glorify you and whatever may be done, Lord, but especially within the marriages and between, you know, husbands and wives and their children and grandchildren too. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your loving kindnesses, Lord. Forgive us where we failed, Lord. Forgive us when we haven't done as according to your word, Father. Wash us clean, O Lord, in the blood of Christ. And Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, now let's go ahead then, and we shall prepare ourselves for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And